Well, good morning, everyone. Be honest, did any of you go to the park before you came here?
No.
We did send out an email, but I thought it was pretty obvious today. It wasn't one of those things like, well, maybe they're there. No, we weren't there. It's a pretty wet day out. So we're glad you're bearing with us. We didn't have the music on the screens or anything like that. We thought we would just keep it the way it was going to be at the park and enjoy a little bit of a different Sunday. So I hope you're enjoying your morning so far. Last week, I made a comment about belief and faith, and I got a lot of response to it. And I wanted to repeat it because I think we're going to tease it out just a little bit more. Man says, show me, and I'll believe it. And God says, believe in me, and then I'll show it to you. Exactly, right? That's a different way than how man thinks, right? We live in this society where we want proof. We're in a scientific society. Prove it. And yet God says, no, no, you believe in me, and then I'll prove it to you. And the Bible works that way. So I want to talk a little bit today about taking a step of faith. That's the title of the message today, a step of faith, because faith is a journey. Sometimes we look at faith and say either a person has faith or they don't. But it's not as simple as that. Faith can grow over time. It can get bigger, it can get bolder, it can do more. So we're going to talk about this faith. Faith is believing in something. When I was about 12 or 13, I was water skiing down at the beach. And my grandfather was driving the boat. And we were out in Delaware Bay, which is huge, huge bay. And I was doing really good for a little 12-year-old kid. Is that how old I said I was, 12? The story changes sometimes, yeah. But, did I say 10? No, yeah, anyway. You keep quiet, Dieter. Don't make me come down there. So I was a little kid, and I'm water skiing along. I was the picture of perfection, except I have very skinny white legs, which is why you never see me in shorts. And I had the big red vest on. So people would look and say, there's a mushroom going across the water. But I thought I was doing pretty, and we went, well, Grandpa, I want to go way out. So we were way out in the middle of the bay. Now, when you go water skiing like that, you usually have two people in the boat. So one is driving the boat and watching where you're going. The other one is watching the skier to make sure they don't fall off. Not that I would ever fall off. So that particular day, my grandfather was driving the boat, and my stepfather was watching me. Now, the only problem here is my grandfather and my stepfather didn't always get along that well. So we're going along, and I'm skiing, and I'm feeling pretty cool. Other boats are watching me and waving. I'm waving, one hand, I'm waving. I'd lift a ski up like this and show them and then wobble and, put it back down. And the mushroom stayed up, though. So as we're going, we're way out in the middle of the bay, and all of a sudden, I notice my grandfather and my stepfather, their arms are going like this, and I realize they're arguing. Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, boy. So as they're going on, I thought, if they really argue more and I fell off, I bet they wouldn't see me. I fell off. They didn't see me. And off they went into the distance. Yeah, now here I am, this 12-year-old kid in the water. It's probably 60 to 90 feet deep, depending on where you are. So I'm definitely not touching bottom. I had just watched the movie that came out that summer about a shark that eats people. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. 12-year-old imagination, it's coming for me. So, but I was a little worried because the ferry comes through and these other boats, and your head looks very small bobbing in the water when you're in a big bay. So I lifted a ski, and I was waving it back and forth while trying to tread water at the same time so that boats would see me and not hit me, because a boat could just hit you and go on and never know you were there. But the whole time, I never really did panic. And the reason for that is I trusted my grandfather. I had faith in him that he would come back for me. And that wasn't just instant faith, but all through my life, my grandfather had taken care of me. For quite a while, I lived without any father at all, so my grandfather stepped in, and he always was there. So even though the boat went off into the distance, I knew it would come back. Now, what do you think happened? Yeah, because I'm still here. Very good. Yeah. Boy, Stacy, you're just on the ball there. That's a good girl. All right. But it was because of that faith. And that faith had been built up over time because I trusted my grandfather. And I could trust him. It's the same thing with God. We have to build our faith up. And I want to show you an encounter in John chapter 4. Now, I've studied John chapter 4 a number of times, and the big story that happens in John 4 is the story of the Samaritan woman. Remember, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, and they're a hated people. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans, but Jesus treats her well, he talks to her, he breaks tradition, and she becomes a believer. In fact, her whole town comes out to see Jesus, and he stays with them for 2 days. Could you imagine Jesus coming here and staying for 2 days? All we could learn. So that's a great story, and that's what everyone seems to concentrate on. But there's a short story right after it that sometimes we miss, and it's one that I've missed, but I really took some time to focus on this week. Listen to what happens at the end of these 2 days in this town. It says, at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself had said that the prophet is not honored in his own hometown, yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and seen everything he did there. Now, here's a picture of Galilee. I'll put it up on the screen for you. It's a beautiful area. Is it on the screen? Okay, very good. It's not on the back TV. Galilee was beautiful. It was at the Sea of Galilee, and it was well-watered because of where it was situated, and that's where Jesus, his home base was there in Galilee. And there's an earlier story that this is referring to where Jesus said, you know, a prophet doesn't have much honor in his own town. Let me tell you that story real quick. It says this. Jesus left that part of the country and returned to his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, the Sunday, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed at him. Well, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us, and they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Now, this had happened in the past. Jesus was in his hometown, and all the people in the hometown, they saw Jesus grow up. They saw him as a kid. Thought, well, he just is just one of a big family. We saw him grow up. How can he be God? How can he be somebody who does miracles? So they had no faith in him. And it says Jesus didn't do many miracles there. Now, it wasn't that Jesus couldn't do the miracles, but their faith was too weak. So he wasn't there to do card tricks and prove something. They had to believe first before he would show them. As I said, God says, believe, and then I'll show you. So now this story today in John 4 is later. Jesus did many works in Jerusalem. His name had spread, and now even his hometown understood more about Jesus, and they welcomed him into the town. So it says this, as he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, a smaller town, where he had turned the water into wine. He had been at a wedding, and they had run out of wine, and he took water, and he changed it into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. So you see, I've got a map up here. You can see sort of where he's traveling around. And Cana is in red on the map there. And that's where he is. And Capernaum was up on the coast, up at the top of the map. It was an important city because it was on the coast. It was a fishing village. They did mill work there. And this government official who was there had a son that was very sick. He was on his deathbed. So this government official comes to Jesus. Please heal my son. I'm amazed by the people that came to Jesus. When they could hear that he could heal people, out of desperation they would come. It was everyone from beggars to those who were sick to prostitutes to politicians. Now, it's interesting, this politician came, why? Because he was desperate. His son was about to die, and that drove him to come to Jesus. Now, in the midst of that, we see a seed of faith. right? Because this politician probably wasn't very religious, at least not in the Judeo way. He wasn't a Jew, but there was something about Jesus. He had heard the stories. So in desperation, he wants to go that his son might be healed. The beginning of faith starts right there. The official pleaded. Oh, no, so before that, in verse 48, it says, Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" So he admonishes, probably not just this politician, but everyone standing there, why is it that I have to do miracles for you to believe? Why can you not just believe? But he doesn't leave it there. He goes on, he says, the official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home, your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said and started for home. What did the man do? He believed. So now the faith is growing. He comes because he doesn't know what else to do. So he comes to Jesus. He's tried everything else. I'm sure he went to healers. They tried medicines. Nothing worked. So finally he comes to Jesus out of desperation. But then when Jesus says, "Go home, your boy will live," it says he believed. That faith is starting to grow. But it's not done yet. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. That day, that man's faith grew. Now, it says they believed in Jesus. Now, already earlier, it says he believed Jesus for the healing. But now, even so much more, that he realized his son was healed the very moment Jesus said so, his faith grew even bigger. So we see this process, this man that comes because he thinks maybe Jesus can do something. Then he believes Jesus, and then his faith grows even more when Jesus shows him. So God says, "Believe me, and I'll show you." And that's what happens here. Now, this might remind you of another story in the Bible. Do you remember there was a man who had a demon-possessed son? And this demon threw this son into fits. When the son would be walking through town, if there was a fire going, he would be thrown into the fire. Or sometimes the demon would throw him into the water and try and drown him. The disciples heard about this, the people that Jesus was teaching, and they tried to heal the boy. And they could not. And a huge argument started in the town. What's going on? And Jesus comes right in the middle of this argument. And he says, what's happening? And the father explains. He says, you know, your disciples tried to heal my boy and it wouldn't work. So his father says this, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." What do you mean, "if I can," Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Isn't that a crazy statement? I love that statement because it describes me a lot of times. He says, "I believe, but help my unbelief." So in other words, we see faith, once again, it's not just an on or off thing. It's something that grows. So this father said, "Please help my son." Once again, a man in desperation for his child. "I believe, but help my unbelief." And of course, Jesus heals the boy, and their belief in Jesus grows. So as you walk your journey of life, understand, faith is something that continues to grow. But the only way it grows is if we believe first. Then God proves it to us, then we believe more, and then God proves it again. Faith is something you have to work. It's like a muscle. You can't make your muscles grow if you don't use them. It's the same with faith. Your faith will not grow if you don't use your faith. It's a journey. It's what we all have to do. So I would challenge you, if you want to have a strong faith, start believing God for bigger things. Start stepping out and doing things that are only possible with God. If you just do things that you know you're capable of, that's not having faith in God. That's having faith in yourself. But when you do things where you need God to show up or it's not going to happen, that's faith that grows. So for those of you in here too, and sometimes this is me, where you feel like you know Christians who have great faith. Their faith is incredible. And you think, well, I have no faith. It may not be that you don't have any faith. It may just be that your faith needs to continue to grow. And the more you trust God, the more he'll show up, and the more your faith will grow. Paul told the Romans this, and we'll end with this. Therefore, since we've been made right with God, and in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. When we have faith, it brings us into a peace with God. That's the beauty of faith. See, faith doesn't fix all your circumstances. Not everyone who calls out to God to be healed will be healed. God might have other plans, but God can bring you to a place of peace when you have faith. So we trust God, we have faith, and we live in peace, knowing that all will be made right when he comes back from heaven or when we go to heaven to him, depending on how the timing works. Challenge your faith this week. Do something for God. Maybe it's faith to put everything else aside and look at the Bible a little bit more. Maybe it's faith to step out to that person that was mean to you, that neighbor, and do something nice for them. And see if God does not reward you for believing in him and following his ways. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that we could be together today as a family, that there are testimonies of faith in the Bible, people who stepped out and you showed up. Lord, we believe. Would you show us your miraculous works? And Father, we're going to trust in you regardless of what happens in this life, because we know a better life is coming. And because of that, we have peace even in the hard times. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. And thank you for the rain today and the opportunity to still meet and have a meal together. We ask all this in Jesus' name.